Part two, if you haven't received answers to your prayer, you're going to be praying this week, and we're trusting that the power of God will bring the answers that you need this week. Amen? And so things will be working in your behalf. We're continuing in the series. Next Sabbath, I will do the last portion of it, or so far what appears to be the last portion based on the material that I have. In the spirit of deception, we continue to rebuke you and bind you in the name of Jesus, that God's people will not be deceived. They will be able to understand just where they are today and what they need to do. At the end of our service today, we're going to have a deliverance time. And at that deliverance time, you're welcome to stay. If there are concerns that you want deliverance from in terms of deliverance ministry, we'll basically be dealing with some of the sexual issues. And we believe God will provide freedom from the bondage that comes from the bondage that the enemy places on our lives in those areas. Let me review for a moment where we were last week, and thank you for the questions that different ones you had and we worked to answer with. Just a review of last week. Remember, we talked about we're three-dimensional, right? We're three-dimensional, so we're body, we're mind, and we're spirit, right? And God's plan for wholesome sexual expression is that first the spirits of the couple would be joined together, and then after that, you would move on to a joining of the soul, a joining to the body, right? And we talked about last week that just because you like somebody in prayer meeting doesn't mean that that's the person you should marry. Amen? Because there's more to marriage than just prayer meeting. Amen. And some of God's saints need to hear that. There's more to marriage than just prayer meeting. So there should be a joining of the spirit. There should be a spiritual union. There should be a spiritual bonding and connection. And then there should be a joining of the soul. You should like the person's mind. You should like what they are about. You should like those things. You should like them and not marry them because you want to change them. You should like the person. Amen? All right? And then at the end of the process, there's been spiritual compatibility, then soul compatibility. The last union should be bodily union, right? And bodily oneness is reserved until later in the relationship process. Let me pause and say that if you did not get it right and you're already married, ask for the grace of God to work on what you have and make it into what you need it to be. Somebody I was listening to this week was talking about how generally we marry the person who can help us complete the business that should have been completed in our childhood. And so you may have married the right person already. You liked them before you went down the aisle, didn't you? At least, yes, you did. See, now y'all going to be perpetrating up in here because you want to get rid of them. You liked that person when you went down the aisle with them. All right? So build on the things you like about that person. Amen? And if you don't have a soul union, you and God get together and that person and begin working on liking things about them. Everybody has something about them you can like. Now, that's your husband or your wife. I'm just trying to make it easy on you. Are you following me? Everybody. Okay, so now, bodily union is reserved for later on in the relationship because once bodily union happens, there's a bonding that takes place, and it is a permanent bond unless the power of God and the request comes to God to break the bond. All right? If the oneness is not broken by the power of God, then Satan can use the bodily channel to pass demonic spirits through. We're just designed that way, that we become bonded. Let me give you a good illustration of how that works. I was listening to G. Gordon Liddy this week. I'm not a political admirer of his, but he's an interesting spokesperson, and I just find it fascinating how he crafts things and his sense of humor. He was talking about a certain segment in his radio program that there are individuals who should not have been allowed to participate in the gene pool. You know, they're really not doing well mentally, right? And so he gave an example. One individual, he said, was going to show the effects and the power of crazy glue. And so he put some crazy glue on his hand. He was at a petting zoo, and this is a true story. And he put some crazy glue on his hand at a petting zoo and stuck his hand on the behind of a rhinoceros, a little baby rhinoceros. And the baby rhinoceros was used to people petting it, so it didn't have a problem until later on it couldn't get rid of the person. And because the guy was stuck there, the rhinoceros really went off. Now, I'm talking about bonds now. The rhinoceros went off. They said it killed several animals, trampled them to death in the petting zoo, dragging the man around who was bonded to the behind of this animal, right? Tore through four fences. And then by the time they got the animal calmed down and his hand was still stuck where he probably wished it wasn't, that animal in particular that day had been given a laxative because of a certain disease that they were struggling with, and they were trying to clean the system out. So now you got a baby rhinoceros with your hand forcing you to be stuck in a very unusual position. And they said by the time they got the darts in the animal to calm it down, the laxative kicked in. And they said they had to dig the man out from under his connection so he can breathe until the point that they can dissolve the union. He did not receive the laxative, but benefited from the effects of the laxative. It is the same with bonding. They said they had to dig him out so he could breathe. He should not have participated in a gene pool, right? But listen, it's the same way. When you deal with sexual union like that, a whole lot of things go through the channel. This is one of the problems with sexually transmitted diseases. You did not purposely expose yourself to a disease. But your partner may have exposed himself to the disease and lied to you about their exposure. And if they're already lying about their behavior because of what they want to do, it doesn't take them much to lie to you about what they want to do. And then anything can be coming through the line. Are you all following me there? It's a very uncomfortable thing to talk about, but that's part of the reality. Part of the reality is, and we'll get into some of that today, and we did talk about some last week, some of the people who front off to be a certain kind of way are really another kind of way, but they get with you to kind of cover up that they're really struggling over here. In other words, that can be the problem, but I want this to be the effect, so I cover up this by acting like that, but because I was over here, I got a whole lot of stuff from over here that I'm bringing over here. Are you listening to me? And so a whole lot of that goes along. And so God wanting to keep you away from the transmission of not only spirits, but disease flowing through different partners. When you laid down, you didn't lay down to pick up that. And they said they did not have that. So if they were willing to lie to God, you were just a short step from them lying to you. Satan loves to hurt, right? And so he can't get the rat and the roach on you, so he entices you to make an illegal union with those who have the rats and the roaches. Are y'all following me? So that can be transferred right to you, right up under your nose, and you can end up with big problems from committing a little sin. Are you following me? It takes a little stain of grape juice to mess up your favorite dress. Man, one of my favorite ties has a stain in just the place that I can't cover up with my coat. And it's one of my favorite ties. We also learned last week, sexual activity, all of it is worship. That's why it's so powerful. God invented sex. We're just on last week, remember? And when sexual activity is engaged in, according to the guidelines of the Bible, God is being obeyed. Obedience is connected to worship. When we obey God, we're worshiping God. And when we worship God, we receive the Spirit of God. When we disobey God, we are unconsciously worshiping the false god behind the disobedience, and therefore we receive those false spirits, right? So when we disobey God, we worship false gods, we receive the false spirits from the false god, and Satan legally has the right to do with us what he wants to do, right? Okay? Now, let's move on. Now, let's go to, now that was the normal areas of sexual activity that we need freedom from, right? Freedom from adultery, freedom from fornication, right? Let's move into some of the other areas where demonic activity takes place. And those are the areas of perverted sexuality, which is not necessarily of our choosing. You see, I may choose the fornication, I may choose the adultery. And there's a certain level of thing happen there. But there may be levels of sexuality that is not of my choosing, not of your choosing. And that is the perverted area, which is not of God's design or choosing. All right? Are you all still with me? And this includes a number of categories. We're going to go through them as delicately as we can. But we will talk about homosexuality today. We will talk about perversions. We will even say today, and I should say it up front, even those who are married, there are certain activities that are not ungodly even though you're married. Even though you're married, you do not have the right to abuse your husband or wife in the marriage bed. Abuse. That is sex that is not your own choice. It's abuse when your will is taken from you. When you're forced to participate in something that was not your own choosing and it wasn't your own preference. When you're abused, you're not choosing to be abused, but your will is being taken from you. And when somebody takes your will from you, they are controlling you. And who loves control? Satan loves control. Control is against God's order. God gave us free will. God gave us a free will made in his image. So when somebody abuses us, they're taking away our free will. And in taking away our free will, Satan is involved because it's the part of the devil and his work to take away free will. So Satan is involved. Demonization takes place as a result of abuse. How unfair the devil is. Those who have been sexually abused will not only need deliverance, but they will also need inner healing. There needs to be healing, because when somebody rips me off of my will and do something to me that I was not choosing to do, an emotional wound is made and damage is made, and it lies hidden on the inside, deep down on the inside. So if I was molested, or if I was the subject of incest, or if I was raped, that would be totally devastating, and it would cause long-term and immediate effects. It would be devastating if a man was raped. It would be devastating if a woman was raped. Molestation, devastating. A person who is victimized will receive usually a sense of being defiled. And the sense of being defiled can cause them to react in abuse in different ways. They may be, because of the defilement, become emotionally cold. I can't let anybody get close to me. I've been defiled. I've been defiled. I've been defiled. Or they may become lustful or promiscuous because I'm convinced that nobody decent would ever want me because I'm already damaged goods. So part of their deliverance would have inner healing as a result of what took place in your life. That you are not what happened to you. The person who did to you what they did, they were wrong. You are not the evil that poured out of them onto you. You were a target because you were pure. You were not a target because of evil residing in you. But somebody who was evil allowed the enemy to use them to damage you, because the enemy wanted to dump into your life chains that you will struggle against for the rest of your life, stuck, pulling against chains. And the enemy knew the potential that you had. And he said, the only way I can keep somebody down as brilliant and as powerful as you are is to have somebody outside of your experience to come in and abuse you and then chain you. Sexual abuse breaks the personality. Would somebody just pray for me, please? Just send up a prayer for me. Sexual abuse breaks the personality. One of the reasons why demons motivate people to abuse others is that abuse shatters the personality. In Isaiah 61, we read about the Messiah, and he's supposed to come and heal the brokenhearted. The word broken is the same word that was used when Moses, you remember, he came down off the mount and he had the Ten Commandments and he threw them down. They were shattered upon the rock all over the place, right? Jesus is to come to heal the brokenhearted that has been shattered in so many pieces that you can't get back again. And you remember when Moses broke it, God said, come back to me. I will rewrite because I knew what was there in the beginning. So Jesus comes along and calls us back in the body of God that are brokenhearted, and we struggle to live with dignity with shattered lives. The heart is broken. The life is broken. And Jesus says, come up. I will bind up the brokenhearted, and I will rewrite my love on your heart and write back into your experience the destiny I declared was yours. I will make you all over again. I will heal the brokenhearted. I will take away your shattered life and give you a new heart and a new life. The enemy loves to break, and God loves to restore. One of the struggles is coming to God and saying, God, I'm broken. I'm broken in ways I cannot fix myself. Then God can give me a new heart. Are you all still with me? I got two more areas to cover, and then we're going to take time for deliverance today, because people will get free. Another area of sexual sin that opens the door for demonic involvement is abortion. Abortion is a present disruption of the future. It's me taking today and changing the future for whatever reason. There are laws governing the spiritual universe. Stay with me, please. Demons have a legal right to enter a person, and they will stay there until that legal right is taken away. The sin produces the garbage that the demons love to live on. So if a person goes through the experience, now follow this. They go through the experience of ungodly sexual involvement, right? And so they got that thing, that's a guilt thing on them. Then they go through the experience of now having a child being developed inside of them as a result of that. Then go through an abortion, so they got that thing on them also. What do you think the devil would do to that person? You see, the person who has the one thing on them, they will still be struggling trying to come to church, and maybe. But the devil will come along and say, no, you're never going to get it in because look at what you did. And this is why God recorded in the Bible that Moses murdered somebody. Because Moses was trying to accomplish an agenda by his own strength. And sometimes we're trying to preserve our future by doing the ungodly thing. And so God has it in record that, hey, if you're messed up with an abortion, I can not only forgive you, but I can heal you from the torment of the memory. God will ask you, give me the child that you aborted. Give me the memory of every miscarriage after the abortion that you attach to the guilt of your activity. Place all of that in my hand and find out that when I look at you as somebody who has never made a mistake. And it won't just be a declaration. I can work it out on the inside of you when you won't have to carry the badge of guilt. Because the badge of guilt is mighty big. It covers all over me when I'm guilty. Not only do women need to be healed from that, but the men who have helped pay for the abortion or insisted on the abortion, they have opened the door for spirits of murder and death and guilt to come along. Sometimes the abortion was forced by the husband or the partner who said he was going to be there. And then he decided not to be there, but he decided to put his money there. That brother has to get that thing right. If that's not dealt with, spirits of bitterness can come up and hatred. So, on the perverted end that the demons use, is one is abuse, right? We talked about that. The other would be abortion. The other one is a perversion altogether of our sexuality. Let's talk about homosexuality for a moment. Much of what I'm going to say can be found in a book by Joe Dallas called A Strong Delusion. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Are you all still awake with me today? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. As I discuss homosexuality today, I'm trying to discuss it within the context of heterosexuality, because sometimes we run into some of the same problems. We just covered up a little different. Isn't it strange that in the church we have some sins that we like better than others? Mm-hmm. Y'all don't have to say amen, but I know that's true. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Know this, this is New King James Version, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, right? 2 Timothy chapter 4, look at verses 3 and 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and become turned aside to fables. Now, if you can go back with me just a little bit in your Bible to 2 Thessalonians. Go back. 2 Thessalonians is right there near Timothy. Just turn there quickly. Look on with your neighbor if you can. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And look at verse number 9. It says, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. For this reason, God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. In most churches, stay with me a few more moments. In most churches, you will hear people give testimonies. They say, Pastor, I was a drug addict for 6 years, and I'm free today, that type of thing. I've overcome smoking. I've overcome some immorality. But very seldom do you hear anybody testifying that they've overcome homosexuality or that lifestyle. And the impression is given that either God delivers only a few people from homosexuality, or those who are homosexual are too ashamed to admit what they used to be. Much of the debate in this area centers around whether or not there is a genetic connection between the homosexuality. We all have to admit, if we're honest, that there is a possibility that somebody could be born that way. Because if I can be born with too many fingers and too many toes, I could be born with a certain attraction. The possibility is there. However, I have to keep in mind that no matter how I have been born, no matter what I've been attracted to as a result of being born, my being born does not make my behavior less sinful. In fact, if I am born that way, it only highlights my need to be born again. Some people argue that you should not work to change homosexuals because they would have a severe emotional reaction to the change. I argue back, any sinner whose nature is being changed at a deep level will have a strong emotional reaction. According to the Bible, homosexuals can change. And I've met some of them who have changed, and God has changed their life, and they're no longer living in that lifestyle. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Notice what the Bible says here. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Stay with me just for a moment. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 and 10. Do you not know, verse 11, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. We're not going to get up in the closet with anybody today. But if the Bible is true, such were some of you. But then it says, but you were washed. You were sanctified. So if it is possible for God to wash me and stop me from fornicating and stop me from adulterating and stop me from lying and stop me from being an idolater, it's possible for God to wash me and stop a homosexual lifestyle. If it's possible for you to make it in, it's possible for somebody else to get in. Paul says some of you were that way, but you were sanctified. The power of God changed you. See, the reason many gays feel so strongly about the change, they say, well, I can't change. The reason they feel so strongly is because if one of them change, the rest of them will be tormented by the idea that maybe possibly I can. Some gays argue, I'm the way I am because this is how I feel. I did not choose those feelings. And I argue back, you may or may not have chosen those feelings, because I don't know if you're lying, but whether you're lying is not the issue. All of us have feelings. And some of us have feelings we did not choose. We don't all feel like doing right every day. Sometimes we feel angry. Sometimes we feel jealous. Sometimes we feel like lying. Sometimes we feel like getting sexually active outside the will of God. And we didn't wake up that morning asking for that feeling. The issue is not the feeling. The issue is, will you act upon the feeling? Just because you felt something doesn't mean that feeling is from God. All of us have feelings. God requires the homosexual to desire deny their feelings. God requires the adulterer to deny those feelings. God requires the fornicator who has built into their nature and system that this is how I feed myself. God requires you deny those feelings. And God requires, deny them. Take up your cross and follow me. Oh, Jesus said, I know about your feeling. I know you tried to change yourself, but I didn't tell you to change yourself. I told you to follow me in spite of how you feel. My job is to change you. So live in obedience to me, and you got to lose yourself in me, Jesus says. Well, Pastor, I'm in love, and you see, love is of God, and love comes from God. And God is blessing me, Pastor. God is blessing me to pray, and God is blessing me to continue in ministry. And if loving him is wrong, I don't want to be right, huh? But God, just because he gave you a gift, doesn't mean he respects your behavior. Oh, if Tina was here, she would say, what does love have to do with it anyway? For you ain't nothing but a secondhand emotion. You're using the cover of love to get under the sheet. That ain't love. Be honest with what you're talking about. Everything we call love ain't love. I know a whole lot of preachers and teachers who are immoral sexually, and God blesses them with his presence, but he doesn't bless their sin. The fact that you can preach, the fact that you can sing, does not mean that you're right with God. God gives you a gift because God is good. He doesn't give you a gift because you're better than anybody else. Usually the worst one gets the best gift. The presence of God doesn't approve your behavior. The fact that the power of God moves upon you simply means God has something he wants to do in spite of who you are. And we got to learn how to look beyond the person and look for God. Because some of us are so busy looking at the person. Somebody challenged me and said, how dare you talk about sex as to where you've been? How dare you be my God? Why don't you praise my freedom and not chain me to the past? And the reason I can talk about it is because of where I came from. But thank God today, you got to talk about my yesterdays. You ain't talking about my today. Oh, because I know where I laid down last night, and that was with Jesus. Know where I laid down. Oh, it's going to get deeper than that. You come next week. Amen. Everybody ought to shout on that one. Because, you see, folk want to hold us back. One of the things I was struggling with today, the devil just messing with me today. Man, you can't preach that. And I was praying. I said, Lord, help me to preach it in spite of how he or I feel about it. Because the devil ain't got nothing to do with this. God brought me from a mighty long way. And since I know my days are numbered, I'm going to praise him while I'm topside. fall and rest in the grave until it's time to rise again. Are you following me? I got it right now. I understand what it's all about. Just because I feel something, I'm human, I feel stuff. Oh, yes, I do, but I learned that I can run to Jesus and say, Jesus, I'm feeling something, and I want to do something about it, so you got to hold me, and you got to hold me close. You got to put space between me. You got to give me time by myself until I get my mind focused on you again, because right now I'm not looking for you, but since you know how I feel, show up everywhere I look. So if I show up looking the wrong way, just say, that's Jesus. And show up over there, that's Jesus. I just see you everywhere. Oh, God knows how to hold you. Knows how to hold you. Knows how to keep you. Knows how to change you. He has freedom today. Whatever the lifestyle is. Can we just go there today? Everybody who acts feminine is not. See, a whole lot of folk are perpetrating on the masculine side, and you all are watching the one who looks like this, and you miss. We behave the way we behave based upon how we were raised. In my house, daddy wasn't in the house. And so who was ruling the house? Mama was ruling the house. So I had to find a man outside the house to look at so I wouldn't be walking like mama. But even had I walked like mama, my insides were geared in the right way. You understand? Some of us are so caught up on the outside and we miss spiritually what's going on. And there's a whole lot of switching sides behind the scenes. God will allow his gifts to remain. So that there are people, we wonder, how is it that somebody can be preaching with the power of God, with a whole lot of power of God, and their life is wrong, immoral, you know, at this level, and they live in here. God will give the gift, and he tells us to look for the fruit. See, we get caught up in the hype. With our spiritual growth, you know, we're this small. So if you don't hype me up and I don't feel goosebumps on Sabbath, nothing happened. Because we got some feeling of love, that doesn't mean that's the person we should be with. Love is nice and love is good. Do you know Solomon loved a whole lot of women? Bible said he loved at least 700 of them. And then when he got through another 300, he was a lover. With a capital L. But his love got him in trouble. Isn't that right? If your feelings of love is what you're going on, your love feelings are not enough. If you're living together as man and wife and you are not married and you're in love and living together as man and wife, your love does not change what you're doing from fornication. The Bible said no matter how much you love them, it still goes under the category of fornication. That ain't love. Because if that's love, why would you be doing that? The real issue for a child of God is, can I obey God? The real issue is not if I'm going to change, but it's whether or not I can obey God. And when I obey God, what does he do? I was trying to figure out a way to illustrate part of our struggle so we can see it. You see, when we come to God, most of us, we wouldn't admit it, but most of us are all messed up. We wouldn't admit it, but most of us are all messed up. We wouldn't admit it. Most of us think we come to God polka dotted and got some good. No, he said all have sinned and come short from the top of your head to the bottom, huh? You're just all messed up. It's just nothing but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. And so I come to God and say, God, I can't change. Look at me. That's all that I am. And God said, listen, don't worry about changing. Worry about obeying me. Let me take you and put you in me. So God takes me, puts me in him, but I can still see a whole lot of me. God said, quit worrying about what you see. Learn how to obey me in spite of what you see and respect what I'm doing in your life. Because when I get through with you, it's going to be as if you've been washed whiter than snow. Oh, my life will be clean. God says, when I look at you, I don't see that you were struggling with homosexuality. I see that you dedicated your life to me in spite of what you wanted to do. You said, I'd rather have Jesus than that man. I'd rather have Jesus than that woman. I'd rather have Jesus than that situation. And because I got Jesus and obey him, God said, I declare you clean. He puts your personality back together. When he looks at you, he doesn't even see what you see. He sees what the blood covers. And the blood is covering your life. I see Jesus in you. What are you talking about? I see Jesus in you. God can give you freedom from your sexual bondages and help you to worship him in purity and holiness and righteousness, where you're not stuck with the rejection of yesterday. The enemy came in to hurt you. That's why he allowed the abuse. The enemy came in to hurt you. That's why he pushed the abortion. The enemy came in to hurt you. That's why he pushed you in a perverted way. But God is present to help you. He's a very present help in your time of trouble. He says, I will not only not condemn you, I won't even push you away. If you come to me, I will draw nigh to you. Come to me, all you who are laden, heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He can work it out for you today. We're going to go into a deliverance time here in just a moment. If you have realized that you've opened your life to the enemy to work in your life, and the work of your enemy in your life is keeping you from fulfilling your purpose, fulfilling your destiny, you know that there are serious consequences for your sins. The relationship you had years ago, perhaps the bond is still active and it has a powerful influence upon your life. Or if you have sexual relations in your past that you want to be released from, you want to be delivered from, or if you're in an ungodly relationship now that you want to stop and you want to be delivered from, or you want freedom from the bondage of carrying around the shame of the abuse, the power of God is available today. It's not something to be embarrassed about, but it's something to thank God for. Many of the problems and burdens that you are carrying today, they are not your burdens and they're not your problems. But they are yokes and chains that have been placed on your life by unclean spirits. These unclean spirits have been given the legal right to work in you as a result of one of these issues we talked about today. You may not have invited the demons in, but they came in through one or more of the partners. And the spirits in them have had access to your life. If you know the enemy has been given legal right to come into your life and you want to be free today, at the conclusion of our service, we're going to have another deliverance time. And as a result of that, we believe God is going to extend some powerful freedom into your life. We're going to close our services here in just a moment. We're going to dismiss the audience, and those who want to stay by for deliverance, we will stay by and minister to you. We're going to ask those of you who are going out with us in the community to meet with us at 2 o'clock at the Kelso building, and we will move out from there. The information and the areas are all prepared for our evangelistic questionnaire. We appreciate you helping with that. Before we dismiss the service, I want to pause for a moment. If there's somebody who came to church today, you're looking for a church home, you're just looking for a relationship with Jesus Christ, and you want to give your heart to God today, before we leave, I want to pause and give you the opportunity to do so. Would you just raise your hand where you are? This service is about you. God bless you, my brother. This service is about you. It's about you. And you want to give your heart to God. You want to be a part of God's fellowship. We want to give you an opportunity to raise your hand. All right. What we're going to do at this time is consider ourselves dismissed. We're going to turn off the videotapes, if you would. We turn those off, and we're going to dismiss the congregation. We have an announcement or two we want to share with you, and then I will ask the Levites.